John 17:14. Jesus said, I have given them, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:14. Jesus said, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. John 17:14. Proverbs 11:20. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:20. Assuredly, the evil man will not go unpunished, but the descendants of the righteous will be delivered. Proverbs 11:20. John 8:43. Why are my words not clear to you? It is because your ears are shut to my teaching. John 8:43. Why are my words not clear to you? It is because your ears are shut to my teaching. John 8:43. Before we begin, let's take a moment of silent prayer, and then we'll get started. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your grace. We pray for concentration and understanding of your word. We pray for clarity in our lives so we can relate that to you and always have a purpose of glorifying you. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So continuing on, still in Philippians 1:13, looks like everybody had, or some of you had a little sugar, so your eyes are a little wider than they were, so that's good. So we were talking about how the gospel message was made known not just to some, but the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else. And one of the things that we had mentioned was that Paul wasn't shy about what he stood for and the God he believed in, which is the only God. And he was very... people knew about it. People knew who he was and what he stood for. They knew who Paul represented. And this is an example of Paul's ambassadorship in prison, is what this is telling us. This is Paul's ambassadorship, and this is our example, really, to follow. It doesn't mean that you have to be in prison, although if you are, that's certainly, you can certainly do the same thing here, but the issue still remains that there are people in this world who do not know Christ, who have never heard the message of the gospel, who may know bits and pieces, but have never heard it in a complete package that only certain individuals know. Even though many more should know this, you do know it. Even if it's not necessarily the whole message, you know enough to present that we are saved by grace through faith, and that is not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. So there's people that don't realize this. There's people that don't realize it's something that we can have free. There's people that don't realize that it's something that's provided to every single person on the face of this earth. There's people that don't know these things. There's people that think heaven is something that they can never reach because my past, I was such a bad person. And I've ran into people like this. There's no way God will allow me into heaven because I've done X, Y, Z. These things were horrible. And not true. Grace covers everything. And there's people that just don't know about this. So we sometimes overthink it. You know, we sometimes say, I've got to present the whole thing. I've got to get lay it out to them. I've got to get them in a quiet room. I've got to do this. The air has to be right. The temperature, the sun has. They may not need to hear but one thing. They may not need to hear that it's a gift. They'll take that away and say, what? It's free? What is that about? That's not how I grew up. I learned differently. Let me look more into that. It might not take the full thing, but what it does have to be, it has to be clear. It has to be as clear as you can make it. So as long as you're based and rooted in Scripture, it's going to be known and it's going to spread because the Word of God stands forever. That's why. And that's the message we're spreading is the message about Jesus Christ. So, the Word, it says, became. So this is talking about a message that was previously virtually unheard of and came into existence. This is the Word that it's referring to. Became known. Or became clear. Here we see it, how it says, virtually unheard of, and it came into existence. Not from Paul's position, but to all those who were influenced by the gospel message. So the Word indicates there was a new condition, a new atmosphere that wasn't there before. So when Paul entered on the scene in the prison, the atmosphere completely changed. Not in one day. Over a period of maybe a couple years, it changed. And that's the impact we should be thinking about having. When you are placed in a position, you have the equipment, the necessary Word of God in your soul to be able to have an impact, a deep impact. Not just surface level. This is to spread in the roots of the people, and it's to grow into their soul, into their mind, and have them think about it. If they reject it, they reject it. And that's okay because God gave us free will to reject it. But you know what? That's not our focus. Do we desire that they continue? Do we give up on them? No, of course not. We don't give up on them. We don't give up on anybody. They're human beings, and everyone was created in the image of God, even unbelievers. Guess what? We were unbelievers once too. So that's what we're here to do. One of the things, the Word clear is, you can see it there. It's the one yellow word, become clear. It means to be visible. Or clear, plainly to be seen, open, evident, known, something in general, exposed in the general view, or in open knowledge. So this isn't something that we hold close to our chest. We know people. We know whether we can even introduce the message. I'm not saying you got to have common sense with the person you're talking to. But at the same time, don't miss the opportunity is what we're talking about. There's so many opportunities when we get in fellowship and we calm down and we're not so worried about what am I going to say, when am I going to say it, and all of a sudden you're having a casual conversation and before you know it, you're teetering around the salvation message. Whether it started in, hey, where did you grow up? What religion? Were you religious or what? You know, there's always opportunity when things are calm and casual and you're focused and you're in fellowship. There will be an opportunity presented to you. It may not be the first time you're with the person and it may not be the second time. So don't hang your head and say, oh, well, I missed the opportunity. That's not the case. There will be an opportunity. If that person needs the opportunity, God will provide the opportunity. We shouldn't stress out on opportunity. We shouldn't do that. Because God provides that. It's His timing whether or not we even come in contact with those people. God knew in eternity past before Paul got into the prison that there were unbelievers in the prison. That's the reason, one of the reasons Paul was there. So he could go out there, reach the people, spread the word of God, without even really Paul realizing the full effect that he was having. And we can have the same effect, whether it be one person or two or however many. It's still whatever effect that you have, if it takes root, it's something that lasts for eternity. That's an eternal discussion that we're having with people. And we don't want any of our friends, unbelieving friends, to go to hell. I don't care how evil they are. Maybe they could, you know, death penalty or whatever, but hell? That's eternity. Eternal hell, fire. So everyone deserves a fair shake. Everyone deserves a chance. Has become clearly seen, what has become clearly seen? That Paul's imprisonment, what does it say? On here, on this translation, it says that I am in chains for Christ. Or some translations say my imprisonment is for the cause of Christ. And really, that is our cause. That's why we exist. Remember, your cause flipped. Unbeliever, you had different causes and purposes for life. Now, you have a whole new cause. Wherever you are, we're never off duty. Our cause is always the same. Our purpose, our motivation should be the same. Things can be totally different when you have a different perspective. When you go into an environment with a mood that, oh no, I've got to see this family member, this family member, this family member, and I'm really not looking forward to it. How about think about your cause, your focus, what you're going for? Get in fellowship, and there's an opportunity that might be waiting for you in that situation. It gives you a new perspective. And it really changes our attitude, because really it's not about whether we want to be there or not. Paul necessarily didn't want to be in prison. But what did he do? He made the best of it. He went there and he glorified God. We can always glorify God in any situation. Whether good, bad, ugly, painful, God can be glorified in that situation. So as we shift gears, today is also our day that we celebrate our Lord's Supper. And as most of you know, this is a command from our Lord. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 11:24, where he says, "Do this in remembrance of me." This is for church age believers, and this is designed for all church age believers to not simply take part in a ritual. This isn't designed to simply be something that we do and go through the motion, as it is for some people. This isn't what it's designed for. It's designed to have the content in your soul to be able to remember and think upon our one and only Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. So today is really about what's already in your soul and what do you have to think with about what Christ did for us and on our behalf. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." So there are a few things that I want us to note before we take part in the elements. The first is that Paul is describing himself as being crucified with Christ. Now, this word literally means to be nailed on the cross next to someone, to be crucified with. Of course, here we know it's used in a figurative sense, but the force of this still remains. This still remains. He explains how he has taken up his cross, which is by living his life in complete reliance on Jesus Christ. He says, "No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." So why does Paul, or for that matter, anyone, come to first have faith in Christ and then dedicate their lives to Him? Why does that happen? The answer is only found in the object of our faith. That's why we do it. It's because of the object. It's not because of something that bubbled up within us. It's because we're drawn to Him. It's because He provided salvation already and wants us to be saved, desires us to be saved. The object of our faith, Paul says, who loved me and gave himself up for me. That's why we are drawn to Him. That's why we dedicate our life. Whether you have a friend who jumped on the front lines and died for you or not is completely different from physical and eternal life. Saving a physical life is not the same as saving your life for all of eternity. And this is why we should be overwhelmed in our thinking of Christ. When I think of a perfect God sending His Son to this earth, not only in humility, but also in obedience to the Father, not necessarily because of something I did, or am doing, or even will do, but it's all because He loved us. And that's why He sent Him. It's because He loved us first. And what else did He want? He wanted us to have a second shot. Because remember, in the garden, we threw it away. We rejected. But He said, you know what? That's not stopping me from getting to you. That's not going to stop me from getting to you and having a relationship with you. It's not stopping me. What I'm going to do is I'm going to send my Son to die for the sin of the world. And that's exactly what He did. So despite our failure, our disobedience, our rejection of Him in the garden, He continually provides a path of grace in reconciling us to Him through Jesus Christ. It's been done. The word here, gave Himself up, means to turn over or to give up. Listen to this. It was a military term used for surrender. To surrender. Isn't that just what Christ did? And we'll get to this in Philippians 2, which talks about, let me read these verses. Do nothing, this is referring to you and me, as believers in Jesus Christ. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Doesn't that have to do with surrender? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Surrender. He surrendered for us. So what's our responsibility and tendency we should have? To surrender to Him. And by surrendering to Him, we have these things. We regard one another as more important than ourselves. We regard others' personal interests and not our own by surrendering. That's what it's all about. Jesus Christ is our perfect example of humility and obedience unto death. Just so that you and I could have the opportunity to live in the same humility and obedience to Him. And it doesn't just stop there. At physical death, we are given a new body, no more pain or sorrow, to live with Christ for all eternity. So, let's not forget of where we come from, where our roots are, what we're rooted in. This is why we observe communion. This is why we observe the Lord's Supper, to remember who we represent. Who died for us on the cross. We also recognize that our Lord's Supper is never something that should be done in an unworthy manner. The Scripture tells us that we can be worthy by examining ourselves. As 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, to examine ourselves means that we are to come before God the Father and make a legal decision to admit any sin that we have committed against God. And we see this described in the Word as judging ourselves rightly. Judging ourselves rightly. And since we are all born with a sin nature, guess what we have to continually do? Judge ourselves rightly. Why? The Scripture tells us, so that you may not be judged. Judge yourself rightly. Only you know. I can't help you with your sins, or your neighbor can't help you with your sins. Only you know. Upon recognition of these sins, God in His grace provided us a means of being cleansed from all unrighteousness by simply naming those sins. So isn't that funny? Even in confession, judgment of ourselves is actually rooted and dependent on the work of the redemptive Jesus Christ. Still, the only reason we have access to that is because of Christ. Without Christ, there's no forgiveness. There's none. There's no forgiveness. Both positionally at your salvation and experientially in your life. So, as our men come forward, let's take a moment of silent prayer. I know it hasn't been long, but so that we may partake in a worthy manner. Let's pray. Dear Father, we're so thankful today for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that we have never done anything in our lives to earn this. We have never or never will do anything to deserve this, but You have given it to us because You loved us in eternity past. And we're just beyond belief many times and just grateful for it today. We thank You for that. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. It is our custom to retain the bread until all have been served. Thank you. take a moment to remove the top cover and retain the bread. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. As we take of the bread, just remember that it represents Christ's body that was broken for us. Take and eat thereof. Dear Father, we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray that we have a realization every day of more and more of who he is. And we thank you for your word most of all. In Christ's name, amen. We have not been redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold from our empty manner of life, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Take a moment to remove the second cover from your container. Remember, as we partake of the cup, that it represents our substitutionary spiritual death of Christ and his willingness to do that for us. Take and drink thereof. We will conclude our service by singing "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross" on hymn number 324.
See from his head.